gift about 6-8 weeks ago. It's called a snore ring. And it worked for a couple weeks, and then I got a little bit sick, and with being congested, it wasn't working so well. So this is the second Shabbat in a row I forgot to take it off in the morning, because I slip out of the room early and my wife's still sleeping. So at least if I fall asleep teaching today, I won't snore. So you're in good shape, right? You pass it around so they can see it? Yeah, that's true. We'll let you get tag. You're it. But a quick question before I start today's message. What's with the rebellion on the recap thing? What is that? What's all about? What's going on? It's like every week somebody's got to bring up recap. It's like my emails aren't that bad, folks. I mean, when you always like, you're going to get an email. I don't do that, okay? I'll start encouraging recaps if that's what it takes. All right, so here we are on Shabbat, another week of freedom, at least freedom to show up here, hallelujah. Yep. And we're going to have the closest type of message to a donut message you can get. But it's going to be a good message, I think, I hope. And it's going to tie in with the Hebrew Roots series we're going to start early February, but it's really not part of it, but it does involve a lot of aspects of it. So, you know, it's kind of like a pre-Hebrew Roots series teaching. So, I think that you're going to discover that it's a critical part of our walk with Messiah. At least I hope you will. And it's something that is obviously important to the Father. It's all over the Bible. But we will see it really a lot more clearly in the New Testament, where we see a better example of it. And to be honest, it's something that's a little bit challenging here in exile today, and that's community. Community and how we should live it. So we're going to talk about that for at least 2 weeks, this week and next week, maybe a third, I'm not sure. But this started back about 3 months ago. My wife and I watched a documentary, and it was called Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. Has anybody ever seen that? No? Good. This will all be fresh for you then. It's a documentary, and it was extremely interesting to us anyway, and I hope it will be to you. Obviously, from the title, this is about people who are living to 100 years old. I mean, live to 100 is part of the title of the message. Secondly, my wife and I both happen to love culture. We've been fortunate with her being born and raised in Europe and me getting to travel with work. We've seen cultures all over, and I think I've mentioned this more than once. The people are always wonderful. It's the governments that are corrupt. So we love culture. So we love seeing how people live. And we love seeing different foreign lands and their customs and their things. But third, what really caught my eye was the fact that this tied in biblically, even though most of these people, four of the five cities that we're going to talk about, knew really nothing about God, or at least the God that we study in our Bibles. The common denominator of all five of the cities in this documentary was community. Now, they had some other things in common. It's not just that, but community was a key central part of all five of these cultures. Now, listen, I'm not here to teach you about this documentary show. I'm illustrating how the documentary show is exhibiting biblical concepts that they didn't even realize it. And a couple weeks ago, Scott and Rhonda mentioned the possible need for a teaching on community and what does it look like today. And I think, Jim, you mentioned something a little while ago, like how do we live here in exile? It's challenging, to say the least. And so with Scott and Rhonda being the new community organizers, and we're trying to make a bigger effort with that, we thought, let's take a look at what a community should look like in exile in America. But it's good to remember as we go through these different cities and we watch and take a look at the things they practice. Now, I do encourage you to go back and watch this. It's a very clean documentary and it's really interesting. But they have biblical concepts in motion that they don't even know about it. There's an old saying when you talk about, like, well, who's going to get accepted into the kingdom? A messianic who knows Yeshua is Lord, but he's kind of walking an iffy light. Or an old-fashioned someone who just loved God and they served him and they kept every single commandment that they knew to keep. I always say there's probably a lot more people doing Torah by accident than we realize. I think this is what we're going to see in this study. The final reason that it all tied in with today is I happened to turn on Moody Radio earlier this week, and what do I listen to? Two preachers talking about community. Now, they butchered the whole message in Acts chapter 4, but that's not the point. The fact that they brought it up just solidified that it was time to do this. And what turned into a pitch for money out of Acts chapter 4 missed the whole idea of what community is really about. So, because though that I did bring that up, we are going to read Acts chapter 4 this morning. But before I do it, most of you already know what it is. You already know it's about Peter and the disciples having this big community coming together, and everybody has to give everything that they have, right? Everybody donates everything they own, right? They're forced to, right? Wrong. We missed the whole thing. And we are not going to suggest that we do that model of community here. So in the infamous words of Sergeant Holka, lighten up, cupcake. Peter and John had just been rebuked by the Sanhedrin. They were upset because they had healed a man, and there is no explanation for it. You know, they just got rid of Yeshua, and now we got these disciples doing the same thing, and it's upsetting the apple cart. And when they come back from the Sanhedrin, having been rebuked, not beaten this time, they were rejoicing, and they were praying, and the house shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit for the third time that is recorded in the scriptures. My take is it's probably the 20th or 30th time that it happened, and they probably had been filled with the Holy Spirit hundreds of times before they finished their life. But I can't prove that. But they went back, and let's read what it says. Acts 4, 32 through 35. It says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses, they sold them, and they brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as he had need." So I already warned you that we're not going to request or suggest that this is the model of lifestyle we should go back to, but we would be remiss if we didn't learn some things from it. And we're going to go into it in a little more detail next week, but I want to clear up three things, and really it's two and a half, but I want to clear them up because it's super important that you understand this clearly. This was something they did of their own free will. We don't have any recorded evidence of anybody asking them to do this. Now, we don't know, because not everything that was said is recorded in our Bibles, but it doesn't appear that they were requested to give their money to help out. Peter clearly said to Ananias that before you sold the house, was it not at your disposal? And once you sold it, the funds were yours to do with what you wish. So there's no indication that everybody had to give everything. And three, this passage really gets missed over when people get hung up with the money, because it's all about the heart. And the heart is what every single instruction in your Bibles is about. Every instruction that God gives is about your heart and your heart's willingness to commit to his instructions. These first century believers had finally seen the coming of the prophesied Messiah of Israel. That was a prophecy that every Israelite knew about. And they were expecting it. They were hoping that it would be at this time. They were on alert from as early as the decade or two prior to his birth. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. They had seen it. They had walked with him. They had breathed with him, ate with him. They understood him to be the Son of God. Why would they not want to pour out everything and anything they had to help others? They had just experienced the most love anyone could ever experience in life, to see and feel and be with the Messiah that was redeeming Israel. I would suggest to you the disciples were enjoying the purest form of love possible because they loved God and they loved others unconditionally. And we should learn from that. And although this type of community may not be seen until Yeshua shows up, we can certainly learn from it. We can certainly learn to love one another. We can certainly learn to take care of one another. to be there for one another, to encourage them. It's kind of what we talk about all the time here. We have to fulfill the gifts God has given us. So let's talk about these five cities from the show we watched, and then we'll circle back, and later next week we're going to talk more about Acts and then the rest of the scriptures that talk about community. But as I go through these scriptures, I want you to be thinking biblical concepts with each of the things that we mentioned. And I changed the title of today's message because I'm not going to have a title of a message, Live to 100, Life in the Blue Zone, Secrets of the Blue Zone. How about Live to Eternity, Secrets of the Bible? Is that a little better? Okay. 100 is a weak goal. I mean, Moses made it to 120. Come on, let's be real. So, more importantly, what can we learn about these communities and then apply it to our life today? So the five places that they visited were Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Loma Linda, California, Icaria, Greece, and Nicoya, Costa Rica. Okinawa, Japan is up first, and many Japanese are known for being healthy. I mean, I've done work in Japan 3 times, and I've played golf there 2x, and most of the Japanese eat a lot of fish. They eat rice. They're generally healthy. They're not really an overweight society. They take care of themselves. But most of Japan doesn't live anywhere near 100 years old. But in Okinawa, something is a little different. Something is happening there. It's not happening in Tokyo and the other places of Japan. One of the problems in Japan is it is so condensed, or it's so dense with people. There's people everywhere. When you look at cities of the pictures of the big cities like Tokyo, you don't realize that Tokyo spreads out for like 100 miles. You almost feel like you never leave the city. You leave the city proper. It's almost like Mexico City, largest city in the world. Why? Because they don't have suburbs. You know, Mexico City would extend all the way up to LAJ. So Okinawa, Japan is crowded. My first experience in Japan, this is 20 years ago. I get off the train. You get off the plane, you get on a train to take you to the terminal. And I'm standing around, okay, I'm 5'10", I'm not big, but, you know, I'm big in Japan. So I'm standing next to some little old ladies that are about 4'0". I mean, they come up to my waist. And the first thing, the doors open, I'm right near the thing, and all of a sudden I get a whoosh, and a whoosh, and they cut right in front of me. And this is how they lived. I found out later, I go, what's up with the 80-year-old woman elbowing me in the bus? And the guys are laughing. Well, that's how they have to survive every day. So they don't live that old, not in Tokyo. But in Okinawa, it's a little different. They have a high-carb diet, sorry, Rich, purple sweet potatoes, extremely high in carbs, but extremely healthy. Almost everyone eats them there, and they are almost all grown locally. It seems the Atkin diets never made it to Okinawa. They also have a high intake of medicinal foods, that are rich in caloric density, but good for you. Lots of vegetables. They eat fish. They eat things that are generally healthy. Now, they tend to avoid the fish that are near the Fukushima plant. Some of you, that went right over everybody's head. You know. It's a slow group today, Jen. I don't know what we're going to braid. What do we do? You run around, wake them up a little bit. Fukushima is the power plant, nuclear waste. You don't want to eat fish that comes out of there, okay? It glows in the dark. But it accounts for one of the main reasons that they're healthy, because of what they eat. They eat things that are healthy. They don't eat things that are not healthy. But here was one of the keys that I learned from Okinawa. They stop eating at 80% full. Now, I am really close to that. I stop about 110. That's not too far off. But they stop at 80% full, and I just feel like there's more food. Why would I stop, right? But the interesting thing was they do this across the whole society. They just stop, they're 80% full, and they put the food aside, and they'll eat later. The next thing that they have in common is, and it's quite the talk in the business and motivational world. So we watched this show, I already mentioned, 3 months ago. Since then, I saw a couple of charts on, I think it was on, what is that? What's that app that I'm on that I don't hardly ever get on? It's the one for businesses to be on.
LinkedIn.
Okay, I'm on LinkedIn, and it's all business stuff, right? Is everybody trying to sell? And Tommy, you probably, where's Tommy? He's with the kids, right? Yeah, Tommy Warren's always into motivational stuff. And so they're using this term, Ikigai. An Ikigai in the business world and what they're pushing in the promotional out there is like they butchered what it really means. What it really means is having a purpose and a mission in life. Now, they're taking it to another level because they're selling stuff online. But it's hugely popular all across this country as a selling point for motivational people. Ikigai means purpose and mission. You have to have a purpose and a mission in life. And without it, you're going to wither up and die. And you probably have known relatives that they retire at 65 and they sit in front of the TV and don't do anything else for their life. They don't live very long. In Japan, in Okinawa, they don't retire, they just slow down and they shift their focus to new projects and new work. They keep their minds engaged and they make sure that they are needed in some capacity, which I found interesting because we walk around moping, nobody needs us. They just make sure they are needed. They don't complain and whine, they just go put themselves in a position, start doing things, kind of like John Vigil. He rolled in, he just started doing things. He didn't wait for people to ask him to, if he could help out. He just jumped in and did it. And we have quite a few others. Don't want to leave anybody out, but Ikigai. It's a way of life. It's a balance of all things. They don't get too overboard on any one thing. They aren't so consumed that they can't focus on other things. They have a balance in everything they do in life. If they're not working anymore, they find charity. They volunteer at local social centers. They do things to be involved with other people, make themselves useful, and have a mission. But the kicker came in this attribute. And this was the first city that we saw. Community and connection that is rooted in having lots of friends. They spent a lot of time with both family and friends. And the different generations all embrace each other, which I thought was really cool. And if you have done any study on honor and shame, you know that's really big in the Middle East. Well, it's also really big in the Asian cultures too. And in Japan, it's an honor to take care of the second or third generation up from you. In America, we've turned it into a burden. They spend lots of times with each other, they play games together, but they always have friends as well. And they always connect and spend time getting together. The community of both family and friends is a biblical concept. However, in Okinawa, they don't study the Bible, and it's probably not anything that they realize that they do. So it was the first city on the list, but I wondered if there were other cities that were coming up, because I was starting to get curious after that first one. Will other ones have the same exact attributes, or will there be differences? Will they be doing biblical things without even knowing it? And next up was the island of Sardinia, Italy. I've been to Italy, but I've never been to Sardinia, and it's pretty interesting. It's a large island in the middle of the Mediterranean, in between Italy and Spain, if I got it right. And it's quite a ways off the coastland, so it's kind of disconnected from the mainland. Kind of, it's not as far as Hawaii, but you know how Hawaii is so remote and disconnected? It's very similar there. It's a very rocky and mountainous region, so it's not flat. And it comes down into beautiful cliff sides coming into the ocean. Extremely popular for vacations. And they too live on a high carb diet. Sorry, Rich. You're okay with this, right? Eating sourdough bread daily. Every single day, multiple times a day. But they make it themselves. And it's made locally. And you would have to travel to Okinawa or to Sardinia to get these heavy carbs. They were the two highest places that eat carbs. And they're extremely healthy. They're living to 100. They're centenarians is what they call them, people who live to be 100. And when they singled out these cities, it's not that there's a few people, it's like the majority of the people are living to be 100 years old. Outside of the carb-rich diet of daily bread is lots of soups, vegetables. And one of the greatest health factors is the steepness of the towns built on the sides of these slopes. It causes people to walk, and they are not sedentary. They don't have vehicles for every single need in life. They have the ability to walk down to the little store, the farmer's market, to pick up bread, to pick up meats. And what we started to see as we went through these different cities, and I'll just stick with Sardinia for now, they don't go to a gym to work out. There is no gym in Sardinia, maybe some of the resort hotels. They don't do video, work out to videos. They just do life, common activities that keep them moving and keep them exercising their bodies. Close proximity makes that a lot easier than it does today when we're so far apart from everything. We can hardly walk to our neighbor who lives four houses down, much less to the store. So it does help in these older cities. It's one of the beautiful things about Europe. When we go back and visit Cornelia's homeland, the cities are all central and you can get to anything you need in a very short walk. And it's really a beautiful thing. But the Sardinians also are quite versed in stress control. They only focus on the things that they're able to take care of. Boy, could we learn from that. That's kind of like out of your teaching from Michelle Stridham. And, you know, the mind and how the mind works. And we spend so much time in anxiety and stress over things we can't control. Well, that's not a problem in Sardinia. Chronic stress is one of the world's greatest problems, as taking on stress that you can't fix, and it is the cause of many diseases worldwide. In many cultures around the world, including the United States, have a very high case of this chronic disorder. And the cause of this disease, which it becomes a disease, is staring at you right in the mirror every morning when you look in there. But the Sardinians are also very family-oriented, and they take care of the older family members, same as the Okinawans. The elders are valued for their wisdom. They're valued because they've lived life longer and they've made mistakes and they've seen things. And there is no disrespecting of the elders. They're too valuable for that. So far, the community and the connection are important for both of these first two cities. So let's move on to the third city, which is Loma Linda, California. And I got to be honest with you, it seemed unlikely to me that anything good could come out of California. Especially nowadays. I mean, California used to be a beautiful spot. It used to be a place of sanity and a place that was, you know, had some beautiful sights. But this community was built by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we can learn from them. They may not have everything right. They, you know, they lean heavily on the prophet that founded their religion, but they do read from the scriptures. They don't have everything wrong. And I think when we see how they built community out here, we'll see that we got some things they got very, very right. So here are some of the strong suits. They are all encouraged to participate and get involved, serve, and enjoy life. How about that as a concept? Let me say it again. They're encouraged to participate, get involved, serve, and enjoy life. Are those biblical concepts? I don't read anywhere in our scriptures where God told us to be miserable. Volunteering, which is related to purpose. Ikigai, having a purpose, having a mission. Volunteering is huge because once you hit a certain age, you're most likely not working in your full-time job anymore. When you hit 80 and 90 years old, I hope you've earned the right to step down from that and move on to something else. And hopefully that something else is more valuable and it's more important in eternity. If you don't have a side job or a long honey-do list at the house, then you may want to consider volunteering for a purpose greater than yourself. Food banks are in almost every city around the country. You can't go anywhere and not find a food bank where you can both donate and you can help out with feeding the poor. Habitat for Humanity is just one organization that builds homes for the poor and the needy. I'm sure there are others. And there are shelters for the poor all over the place. We had been to Seven Bridges. It's been quite some time. And I think they've moved now. But there are things you can do to get involved, especially as you slow down and retire or if you're not working. And the Seventh-day Adventist community is well known for being primarily vegetarians. Now, it's not required. It's just suggested and it's taught. The vast majority of them live a vegetarian lifestyle. The few that do eat meat, they eat, you know, organic and holistic, and they make sure they don't tell any of their friends that they're doing it. But they're also very healthy, by and large. And in Loma Linda, they sure are, because the vast majority of them are living to be 100 years old. Also, there's an independent poll that claims that attending a faith-based community weekly adds 7 years to your life on average. How about that? There's another poll that was not published very much, but it says that if you attend church at Easter and Christmas, it deducts 7 years from your life. So just, you know, just food for thought, you know. Weekly attendance versus twice a year. You know. There is no poll on that. I made that up. I do that every once in a while, but I tell you, so you're not thinking I'm telling you the truth. Faith or religion is a big part of the Adventist community. And you know what's shocking? You know what they don't have? They don't have all the arguments and the petty discussions about things that are really not that important. They don't have people inventing new things with downloads from God. They're just focused on coming and worshiping God, serving Him. If they didn't believe what they're being taught, they would be somewhere else. And they don't have the arguments. They're all on the same calendar. Did you know that? They all use the same words. They all come. They are all joyful. Nobody's fighting. No one's arguing. What a novel idea. We need Yeshua to accomplish that. Social function is provided through their faith, and it leads to a beautiful example of community living and connection that's rarely seen here in the USA or in many other parts of the world. Next up, leaving the United States, is Greece, and in particular, the island of Ikaria. Now, I'd never heard of Ikaria before, but that's probably because there's about 10,000 Greek islands, and I've only got about four of them memorized, so you could slip anything over on me. Much like their neighbor of Italy, Greece in itself is not a country of long-living people as a whole, but just certain regions like this island. This island of Ikaria is like Sardinia to the rest of Italy. Now, I'm not saying that they die early in the mainlands. They just are not known for centenarians. These people outlive all the people of Greece and most of Europe, and they do it slightly different than the first three, but it does have a few common threads. Due to the remoteness of the island, they tend to live off of everything that's grown there, because importing stuff in and bringing in is not only expensive, but it takes time, and you're waiting on ships to arrive and boats, and so everything that they eat, almost everything, is grown right on the island. They support the locals, and they drink wine, organic wine, and most of them drink it every single day. Now, they don't drink much, though. They drink in moderation, which is what I believe is a biblical concept if somebody wants to enjoy a drink. But they don't start the day with wine, so relax. They start with herbal tea with no sugar, which counts me out. But for the sweet tooth, they have a lot of honey on the island, and they use raw honey, unboiled. And I don't know why it's unboiled. I was going to ask Mark Hubauer that, but I think he got called out to work. But they use the honey for their tea, and that's how they start every single morning. They eat lots of vegetables. The little meat that they eat is grown right there on the island. It's grown in their own pastures. But the food alone will not get you to 100 in any country. There is no miracle food. There is no food that's going to get you to 90 or 100 years old if it's food alone. They are also big believers in partnership, being in strong, meaningful relationships. And from what we see on the show, I perceive that they were talking pretty much about monogamous relationships. It's that connection with one person that you really connect to and you spend quality time with them. They enjoy a lot of dancing and laughing and spending quality time with both their mate and their friends. But they don't need clubs to go dancing. They string up lights in the backyard, have tables out there, play some music, and they'll get up and dance in the backyard. They just have fun and enjoy life. Community and connection are once again a common thread for the first four places that we've talked about. So will this last city disappoint us? It's in Costa Rica, and it's called Nicoya. Now, Nicoya is not a city, and it's not an island. Rather, it's a region that is found on a peninsula in central Costa Rica. It's just a little bit south of the popular vacation area of Liberia, where you have a lot of the resorts there. And this little peninsula is very similar to Sardinia, very rocky, very mountainous, and the cliffs come down into the ocean. So, of course, they do get some exercise there. But the Nicoyans have some other attributes that they do that is similar to Ikigai, because they have to have purpose. And what they do is they do almost everything by hand. I thought this was interesting. Very little power tools. They use the old-fashioned way of doing it, the hand saws, little crank drills. We used to remember when we were kids, we used to drill. Well, the young people won't remember that, but everything they do is by hand, primarily. Now, the roads and the infrastructure, they do have some equipment. I'm not saying they're third world. They just choose to do it this way, and they're master craftsmen. And it requires both the mind and strength, and so they get their exercise doing these things. Their diets are made up by locals, what they call the three sisters: corn, squash, and black beans. And they're all grown locally. And once again, two of the three are high in carbs. But carbs are not the enemy. It's just the carbs that Americans tend to eat. They're organically grown and mixed with a healthy lifestyle. This is what keeps the motor running a million miles, or what we're talking about today, your mind running for 100 years. The Nicoyans have also learned to slow down and enjoy life. Slowing down and taking it easy is like a dirty word in America. But they get up early, they get their work in, and by 1 or 2 o'clock they're done. And then they go spend time with their friends. They go down to the local place, they'll have a drink together, they go out to dinner together, they do things together, they enjoy one another. And they make time for it, and it's important. So community and connection, once again, are a key component to living a healthy lifestyle that's going to take people to an older age. For us, I would suggest living a connected lifestyle will help us see what the Father is trying to create in us, which is community. Because what are we going to have in the kingdom of heaven? It's going to be community. It won't be isolation. You're going to have to get used to people of different color, different cultures, different ideas, different backgrounds. It says in my Bible, every single culture, tribe, and tongue on this planet will be represented in the kingdom. It's time we start getting used to each other. It's time we start getting outside of our comfort zone and start connecting with people that we may not think fit in our box. Because you may find that once you meet them and get to talk to them, after a while, maybe they are in your box. Maybe they do fit in your box. So a summary of these five cities could be something like this. And I hope as we've gone through them, you're thinking from biblical perspectives. Moving naturally rather than artificially. What I mean by that is walking, gardening, hiking, doing things by hand will keep you young at heart and mind, as opposed to physical exercise that is manipulated at the gym or whatever. And, you know, I realize we live in a, like I live in bear country. In the summer, my wife has to walk with a gun on her side. So it's a little more challenging to get out and do natural exercise, but doing things around the house, around the property, whatever you can to get natural exercise. Outlook on life is critical. And as believers, should our outlook not be better than the rest of the world? We should be the ones that they're looking to. We should be the ones that they look up and say, wow, that's an amazing group of people. They are so friendly. They are so good to us. You need to unwind. Have a strong faith and purpose for your life. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't know what my calling is. Well, just start by being an encourager and loving people. Start somewhere, and God will unfold things as you give it your best. If this isn't a biblical concept, I've misunderstood the whole Bible. And I phrase it this way on purpose. Eat wisely. There's a lot of ways you can look at it, and there's a lot of ways you could call it. And you might be demeaning to somebody else or to the way you used to be. But just eat wisely. You know, that 80% rule would probably do me really well. Plant-based primarily. Organic when possible. It's not always possible. We live in a kind of a fallen world here in America. Sometimes finding organic is hard to do, isn't it? And sometimes organic's not really even organic. You just never know. But when possible, little wine never hurt anybody, but keep it in moderation if you do enjoy a little wine. And the reality is moderation is a good idea for everything, isn't it? And the most universal and important of all was community and connection with others, which is what we're talking about for the next 2 weeks. Family first, partnership, social circle of friends. But our family is not just the blood that we were born and raised with. It's the people of the kingdom of God. And we'll talk about this next week, but Yeshua spoke of that more highly than his own blood family. Now, it's not dismissing your blood family, don't get me wrong, but if the family of God is not your primary focus, something's wrong. There's an imbalance in your life. There's a need that you need to fill that is not getting filled. The connections with friends always revolved around mutual interest of something. And I can't help thinking that this is what the first century believers in Acts had together. And their central focus was around Yeshua Messiah and what he had done and what he was continuing to do through them and what he can continue to do through us. It may not look exactly like Acts. We may not be able to walk around just healing people laying on the ground. Maybe one day we will. Who knows? But I can guarantee you this, we can feed the poor. We can lift up the downhearted. We can help people out who are struggling, that are in a place where it's a little bit of a challenge in their life. Nobody is beyond being able to do that, or is unable to do that, I should say. See, their communities, these five communities, revolved around faith, love, and serving one another. Even if their faith was different than ours, why can't we do the same thing with our faith, with our God in the Bible? It's never a bad time to start learning about these things. And next week we're going to discuss some of the other biblical ideas of community living and how we can start doing the process, or start doing it better. How can we do a better job of fulfilling the commandment to love one another? And it starts with this: you can't love one another if you don't love yourself. Perhaps this will get some of you motivated to start rethinking how we live our lives, where we spend our time, where we focus our energy, and most important, maybe we learn to stop doing the things that we know are tearing our lives apart, putting ourselves in positions where we know we're going to fail, or it's a high probability we'll fail. See, the Sardinians figured out stress control. And I think the vast majority of Americans, we take on far more stress than we should. And we take on things that we have no control over and no ability to control. Maybe we should get that toxic thought life teaching back out and rethink that over. Let's approach this as a challenge to start living our lives with an eternity mindset rather than a 100-year-old temporal mindset. Perhaps this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Maybe the Father is bringing this up because he's realizing the time is close. And if you can't get some aspects of community living here, why would he want you in his community there? You know, we have this idea that, well, I got my ticket, Tom. I'm going whether you like it or not. No. He's making decisions based on your heart. And you know what? The only person that knows your heart almost as well as him, not quite as well, is you. I can't tell you where your heart is. I don't have the first clue on half of you. Half the time we look at a Facebook post, I go, wow, never saw that coming. The Father is testing us. It's not that we earn anything, but he's just exposing what's deep inside of us. And our heart is what is going to get us through judgment day. Because he's going to say, you accepted my son. You took that free gift. You gave your life over to him, and you followed him. And it shows, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's approach this as a challenge instead of just another teaching. Let's see if anyone's paying attention, because I guarantee you the Father's paying attention to each and every one of us. And another thing I found in watching these five cities and then studying them later, centenarian havens they have all this in common. It's amazing how much biblical instruction is in operation today by people that don't know anything about the God of the Bible. I grew up in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I moved to Florida at 8 years old. And we lived in a little town in South Florida, Southeast Florida. You know how many things I've grown in my life? Zero. I was spoiled. My dad was a pilot. We went to the store, you know. You just go buy what you need. I wouldn't have the first clue how to grow anything. And when I met Cornelia, she had grown up with a dad who was a gardener. And even though she didn't live her whole life with him, just part of her life, but he had implanted some of that to her. And when I met her father, I could only talk to him a little bit. I'd only learned a little bit of German, and he knew a little bit of English, but we talked a little bit. And I think it's through Cornelia translating. I learned that he lets the ground, and all of the farmers and gardeners over there, let the ground rest every 7 years. They had no idea that's in the Bible 3,500 years ago. It's just common sense to them. Everybody knows if you let the ground rest, it replenishes the nutrients, it produces better crops. Everybody knows this. They were practicing biblical concepts, and in fact, the biblical instruction of the Shemitah. God gave us the Shemitah for our good. He didn't sit up there in heaven and look, let's see how this goes, son. I'm not even going to let them have any food for a year. Let's see how they like that. He knew that they had to exhibit some trust, yes. Because telling someone not to plant for a year, but I'm going to provide for you not only for the next 2 years, but you're going to be eating it into the ninth year. Yes, you had to trust God for that, but it was for their good because that produced the great crops that they enjoyed when they were walking with him and obeying him. And I would suggest to you that you have got to get it through your heads that there's not one instruction in the Bible that is not given for your good. That's why it's there. Thank you, Randy. I got one today. But I'm not personally interested in living to 100 years old. That's not my goal or any specific age. I'm certainly not going to move to an area where there's a green or a blue zone where people are living there. I'm interested in staying right here where God planted me, which is living in LJ and doing ministry here in Canton, Georgia. But I am interested in being productive and having purpose all of the days that God has ordained for me while I'm here. And I'm interested in having those days that spent here carry me into eternity. That is my goal, living to eternity. And we do that through following his biblical principles and his instructions. Not challenging. It's not that hard. It takes a mindset. And if your mindset has been a little off, well, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I'll do some of it, it's simple. Change. Change your mindset. God gives mercy. He gives grace to us. He loves us that much. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. But he's not going to let any old person walk through those doors that just says, I got a ticket. Because I prayed, or I said something, or I did something for the poor way back when, or, you know, I know the name Yeshua, and I even know how to say your holy sacred name. It's not going to mean a whole lot. Hopefully a lot more of you want to live to eternity as well, so I think it starts with community. And I think that's why it's important that we discuss this before we get into the other stuff in the Hebrew roots, which will have some stuff that's got great value and other things that are going to be taught to you, hopefully for the first time, as things we need to avoid. Because there's some of the things that we argue about that are just petty, and it's nonsense, and it's not important at all. But as we walk through this journey, it is also one of my desires that this fellowship would grow closer as a community and get tighter than we have been. And that will start from me and the leadership downward. That is our goal for the coming weeks. So let's pray. Father, we don't do donut messages here, but I think this is just a simple, clean message that illustrates that people all over the world, they get your biblical principles and don't even know it came from you. And then we sit here and we struggle and we argue and we create things and we make a mess of things. So Father, there's nothing I can do about the Messianic movement or the Hebrew Roots Walk or But we can start here with the few people that choose to come here. Can we start to look a little more like the community that you designed? Can we start to grow together and put aside maybe some of the little minor differences that we know really isn't that important and start focusing on the things that really are important? That's my hope, Father, and I know that we can't do it without your strength and without your guidance. May you fill us with your Spirit continually so that we can walk this out and live a life that's pleasing to you. That we would embrace your instructions and your commandments and your statutes in such a way that you would see clearly that our hearts are trying the best we can, even though we don't have it all figured out. That is what I believe will bring us into your kingdom with joy and happiness. So, Father, we just thank you for Shabbat. We thank you for one more day we can gather together, that we can break from here and go into Oneg and just be delighted with one another. Let our conversations please you and honor you. Let us start tonight at Oneg with just building community. Let's start connecting with somebody that maybe we don't spend quite as much time with normally. Maybe we can just go way out on a limb and just get in a seat different than the normal seat we take out there. Let us truly connect with one another. Not that we can live to be 100, but so that we can live to eternity, to spend the rest of our lives worshiping and praising you. It's in Yeshua's name we pray. Yivarekeka Yehovah v'yishmereka. Yair Yehovah p'navalecha v'yihunecha. Yisa Yehovah p'navalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In the mighty name of Yeshua. And everybody said, Amen.